Let's turn to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 3. The Gospel of Matthew in chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 1. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins. His meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Just one more verse in John's Gospel, chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. We want to read another verse concerning John the Baptist. John, chapter 1, and verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And may God bless the reading of His Word with what we've already heard. I want to speak tonight upon 4 points. And I hope you won't mind if I say that I'm going to use somebody else's sermon. I'm going to take the sermon of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, for those that know him, was a man, a prophet. And John came and he told people the Lord was coming. There's no better message we could tell you tonight than that Christ is coming. And you need to be ready. But John preached 4 very simple things, and I would like for you to get a hold of these 4 points tonight. In Matthew chapter 3, John said in verse 2, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John preached the message of repentance. Secondly, John preached to these people, Prepare ye the way of the Lord. John told people to prepare. Thirdly, John warned people of his day, Flee from wrath that is to come. John the Baptist was a preacher that warned people that there's an awful day of God's wrath that's coming. So have you got these 3 points? Repent. And repent because time is running out. Prepare because you must prepare. And then there's a day of wrath coming. Now that would be good old-fashioned preaching. That would be the kind of preaching that a lot of people don't like if it was only these 3 points. Oh, but thank God there's something that's on the other side. John preached, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now we would like you to think about these things tonight. My friend, listen, you've been hearing about these three miracles that the Lord Jesus did. Well, that's the Lord Jesus that John pointed out to people when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The best thing that could ever happen in your life tonight would be for you to get a glimpse of the one that John saw that day. The one that all of us who are saved in this building tonight have seen by the eye of faith. The one that alone can cleanse you from your sin and give you that surety and peace with God, knowing that your sins are forgiven. It is none other than God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. But wait, let's look at these 3 points first. Why did John preach repent? I tell you, listen, John is not the only one that preached repentance in the Bible. And before ever a man or a woman or a boy or a girl is going to get God's salvation, there must be a time when there's repentance in their life. Do you know what repentance means? Repentance, as the Bible uses the word, means that there's a change in your heart and there's a change in your actions. It means that you come to realize that you are going the wrong way as far as God is concerned. It means simply that you are made to realize that you are wrong in the sight of God and something must be done about it. I tell you, John's not the only one that preached repentance. And before ever you're going to get saved, you must come to a place where you know what it means to repent. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If we were to turn tonight to Luke's Gospel chapter 13, twice over the Lord Jesus said to those people there, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." If we were to go to Acts chapter 3 tonight and read the words of the Apostle Peter, he would tell the people there in the city of Jerusalem, "Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out." If we were to go to Acts chapter 16 and look at the preaching of the Apostle Paul, you remember in Acts there, chapter 17 rather, when Paul speaks to those people of the city of Athens, he looks at their past days and Paul says, "Times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." My friend, listen, whether we take the words of John the Baptist or whether it's the words of the Lord Jesus or the Apostle Peter or the Apostle Paul, the message of the Bible is this, that in order for you to be ready for that great day that's coming, there must be a time in your life's experience when you find out that you're wrong before God and you repent of that sin. And it's then and then only that you can be brought to know the wonderful truth that Christ died for sinners. Now I wonder tonight in this little building that's here, there's many of you that I don't know, but have you at a time when you found out that you were wrong in God's sight? You know, you need have no pretensions about it. This Bible is the holy word of God. It is given by inspiration of the Spirit of God. And this Bible makes it very plain tonight that as you and I come into this world, and as we grow up and as we live, we're wrong and we're not ready for the God of heaven. You are not ready for God's presence. And that is why this Bible tells you very clearly that you must repent, and you must have a time in your life's experience when you are saved, born again, if ever you're going to be in heaven. I wonder if some of these things have ever sunk into your mind tonight. You know, one of the simple themes of the Bible you can learn as you go through, and if men and women would only use common sense, they would know it. Mind you, somebody say that common sense is not so common anymore. But it's so true. Christians, listen. People, listen here tonight. It is vitally important that you begin to realize that this Bible is God's Word. And this Bible tells us that as we come into this world and as we live, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It tells us very simply, there is none righteous, no, not one. You find these verses in Romans 3. It tells us we're all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. My friend, listen, you turn to Isaiah again, 56, and it'll tell you that our sins and iniquities have separated between us and our God.
And if you and I would only sit down tonight and look at this Bible and think about it, and you dear unsaved ones realize this truth, that there's a God in heaven and there's an eternity that's ahead. You have a soul that will live for eternity. But until you begin to realize that you're nothing but a poor sinner in God's sight, why, you'll never be ready for God's heaven. And this is why John the Baptist, in proclaiming the coming of Christ, says, "Repent ye." Have you ever thought about it? You know, our brother mentioned the time in his life's experience when he got saved. For me, it was a number of years ago down in the city of Calgary. There was a time when I cared nothing for the Bible. There's a time when I wasn't interested in the things of the Bible. But I thank God tonight for this, that there was a time in my experience when I worked in the city of Calgary, when I started to think, and I began to realize that if there was a God in heaven, then someday I would have to meet that God. And I wanted to make sure that I was ready to meet God. Have you ever thought about that? And I wasn't like a good many of you here tonight. I didn't have much of a background. But I'll tell you this. Through the influence of a few Christians that we had met, and I thank God they came our way, I got concerned and I got a Bible and I said, I'm going to find out the truth. I wasn't interested in churches and I wasn't interested in religion, but I said, I'm going to find out the truth. And I got my Bible and I started to study the Bible and I started to check it out. And not being too sure as to whether I could believe the Bible or not, I checked in and I wanted to find out what did other ancient people believe. And I wanted to find out how does all the science that I'd learned all my life fit in with the Bible. And the more I started to read God's Word and get into it, the more I became convinced of the reality of this, that there's a God that I have to meet someday, and I'm not ready. Mind you, I don't think I was any worse than the rest of the people, but I had sense enough to know this, that I'm not ready to meet God, and if I die as I lived, I knew from this Bible that I would be lost and I'd go to a place. Listen, whether you like the name of it or not, there's a place that the Lord Jesus warned about. It's a place called hell, and it leads to the lake of fire. And I had sense enough to realize that I was not ready to meet God, and I wanted to be ready to meet God. With a simple determination, I wanted God's salvation more than anything else in the world. I was made to realize that I was wrong. That's what repentance is all about. I was made to acknowledge that I was wrong before God, and the pathway that I was taking me to a lost eternity. I tell you, I was only too happy to repent. Then I wanted to be saved. You know, you've heard many a person say this before. My, at that point, I wanted to be saved more than anything else in the world. And I spent many evenings, weeks, searching, struggling, saying to myself, what do I do to be saved? I tried believing, tried harder than ever to believe. I tried to pray more, I tried to read more, tried just about everything I could think of. It didn't help me one little bit. One day I came to a simple conclusion. I said, I guess I've lost it. I've missed my chance and that's it. I'll be doomed for all of eternity. I'm finished. I didn't understand it, but I realized that I was lost. Somehow I'd missed God's salvation. And you know, my mind went back to when I was just a young boy. And I remember my dear old grandmother, she was saved. And she had a verse that she used to hang on the wall. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And I remember when I was a boy, I used to look at that verse, and one word used to bother me. The word while. While he may be found. And as a young boy, I used to think to myself, I wonder, will I ever find the Lord? But then in the course of events, all kinds of things happened. And after I got away from home, I got into the Navy, and I got into whatever you can get into. And they'll say no more about that. But listen, I lost interest in an awful lot of things and anything concerning the Bible. And as a young man in the Navy, many a time, We'd be into all kinds of things, but I remember when we'd be at sea, and I'd go up on the deck of a ship at night, and I'd look at the stars, and I'd wonder. I'd say to myself, I wonder what's out there. I wonder what life is all about. I wonder, will I ever find the answer to it all? And then I'd put it out of my mind and say, never mind, wait till later. Friends, listen, you better not keep on waiting for later. John says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when I, as a poor sinner, realized in the city of Calgary that I was lost, I thought back to that verse of my grandmother's, and I thought to myself, well, that's it. I should have been saved when I was younger, but I've missed it. Then when I came to that simple conclusion, my concern then was to try to see others of my family saved. I figured I was finished, but I'll try to help others if I can only see them brought to the Lord Jesus. And I went on like that for a while. And then one day, having taken the children to Sunday school, I was sitting down with my Bible. My, as I was reading through Matthew 13, reading the lovely words of the Lord Jesus, a simple little truth crossed my mind. Something I had never seen so simple and clear before. Mind you, I knew the words, but I'd never seen it this way before. The simple truth was this. That Christ Jesus had come into this world to save sinners. And I began to see as I read these lovely words of the Lord Jesus there speaking to the Jewish people. I began to see that He had come to save people from their sins. And I thought to myself, that's all there is to it. Look, He's come to save people who are sinners. I'm a sinner and I know it and I acknowledge it before God. And Christ has died for sinners and He's died for me. My, you know that? I was saved just as simple as that. And all it takes for you to be saved tonight is to realize that you're a sinner headed for hell in the lake of fire. And trust God's Son who died for sinners upon Calvary. Repent ye, John preaches here, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. My friends, listen. It's a lot closer tonight than it was then. Have you ever stopped and think how close we are to the coming of Christ? Ever stop and realize how close it might be to you being lost forever? The Lord Jesus is coming. It's time for you to repent and acknowledge that you are a sinner in God's sight. Like the poor publican of Luke 18, say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord is coming. He could come tonight before we leave this building. And you know the Lord Jesus should come for the Christians, and all the Christians are suddenly gone to heaven to be with the Lord. Why, if you've had opportunity to be saved, 2 Thessalonians makes it very clear. If you have rejected God's salvation, why, you'll be left behind and you'll be doomed for all of eternity. 2 Thessalonians 2 says, for this cause He shall send them strong delusion, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. My friend, it's a very solemn thing, but God's message to you tonight is repent, time is running out. John's message as well was prepare. How do you prepare for eternity? Have you ever thought about it? When you go on a trip, you prepare, don't you? No matter how short the trip will be, you'll take some kind of preparation. I'll tell you, there's no trip as long as the trip into eternity. Not only that, the trip that you're going to take through death and into eternity is a trip from which you'll never come back again. There'll be no coming back to get ready. Once you go, once your eyelids close in death and you're gone into death, you'll be gone forever. My friend, if there's one thing we can understand from that Bible is this, that you'll have no chance on the other side of death. You stop and think for a minute. I run into people and they like to believe that. They like to believe that afterwards they'll have another chance. Well, listen, you use some of that common sense again, would you? What kind of a person, try to tell me this, what kind of a person would die unsaved and then suddenly on the other side of death realize that there's God and there's heaven and there's hell and there's a lake of fire for all of eternity? What kind of person would ever turn it down? If there was any such thing as a second chance, everybody would be saved. Nobody would possibly turn it down once they realized on the other side of death what it was all about. No, that's not the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible is this. Prepare. Be ready now. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. My friend, listen, you will either prepare for eternity here upon earth, or you'll go into eternity unprepared and unsaved. You'll lament that going for all of eternity in the awful place called hell. Prepare. That's John's message. But how do you prepare tonight? I tell you, listen, you prepare by acknowledging before God that you are the sinner for whom Christ died. You prepare by coming to an end of yourself and realizing that you're wrong. You prepare by realizing that God in heaven loved you and gave His Son to die for you. There's only one possible thing that you can ever do that will fit you for God's heaven, and that is to take your place as a sinner and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. John not only preached repent and prepare, but John preached there's wrath to come. You ever thought about this? You go back to Job chapter 36 tonight, you read these words, because there is wrath. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. There is wrath to come. When we turn to Revelation chapter 6, we read of an awful scene when that sixth seal is opened there. You remember the Bible would tell us of 7 different classes of people. And it begins with the kings and the mighty men. And it works its right way right down to the bondsman, the poor, humble slave. And we see in an awful day that's come, a terrible meeting when all of these people seem to be mingled together. And our brother mentioned the mountains. Well, in Revelation chapter 6, we read of these men, this great group all together. And they call to the mountains and the rocks to fall on them. And do you know what they say? Hide us, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. The great day of his wrath is come. I've often wondered when I've read Revelation chapter 6, what kind of a day is the God's day of wrath going to be? When men will call to the mountains to fall and hide them from the day of the Lord's wrath. What kind of a terrible day must it be? A number of years ago, and this would be something that would be familiar to you, but a number of years ago I drove through BC down there in the area of Hope. You know where the slide is? You remember where the highway winds itself around? I'm sure you all know about it. I don't remember all the details. But I do remember this, that I stopped there one time and I looked at the face of that mountain. And I believe, if I can remember correctly, there was a plaque there which told of cars and people that were somewhere under those rocks. I've thought about it. Have you thought about it over the years? I have. What anguish and what terror must have afflicted these people to see the face of that mountain coming upon them? It must have been a terrible sight to behold. It must have been something that struck terror to their very soul. What's it going to be like then in the day of God's wrath when people willingly call for the mountains and the rocks to fall and hide them from the face of the Lord Jesus? Tell me, have you ever visualized what the day of God's wrath is going to be like? A day when individuals will be damned forever and will be cast out of the presence of the Lord into that awful place that the Bible refers to as the lake of fire, and which the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of and said, the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. My friend, listen, there's people and they don't like to believe this. I tell you, the Lord Jesus believed it. And he warned men about it, and he warned them of that awful place and the awful wrong. that they would endure. But the thing that thrills the heart of a Christian tonight is this. John spoke of the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. My friend, listen. For a minute, let me tell you something. I have no fear tonight of the day of wrath that's come. I have no worry tonight of the awful day when God's wrath is going to be poured out upon unsaved people. I have no worries tonight about that awful place called the lake of fire. Do you know why? Because nearly 2,000 years ago, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, went to a place called Calvary. And on a cross outside Jerusalem, God's Son that had never known sin, never committed sin, knew no sin, in Him there was no sin. There in those awful hours of the darkness of Calvary's cross, the wrath of God against my sin was laid upon Him. You and I, those of us who are saved, we will never fully comprehend what it must have been for the God of heaven to lay upon His Son what we deserve. There's a day of wrath that's coming for the unsaved. There's a day of wrath that's behind. And it was a day of wrath that the Lord Jesus endured. And He endured it for me. There on Calvary's cross, God's Son, He hung upon that cross under a noonday sun. And in the awful hours of darkness, God made Him to be sin for me. God put upon Him all that I could ever deserve. My friend, not only me. God laid upon Him such wrath that was sufficient that the whole world might be saved. There's not a person in this meeting tonight. I care not how black your life has been. I care not what you've got into. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ was sufficient that you can be saved. The price that He paid, the awful wrath that He went through, was sufficient to save you for all of eternity. The terrible thing about the lake of fire for you will be this. If you go out into eternity and end up in that awful place, the caverns of the lost, to realize throughout all of eternity that you could have been saved. God has provided a way. Prepare, John preached. And this preparation is simply this. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Are you preparing God's way tonight? Let me tell you something. Far too many are not. Back in the province of Nova Scotia, there's a place called Spring. There's been a number of disasters there in that area. I understand quite a number of years ago, there was an explosion in the mine and a number of men were trapped below. Then because of the methane gases and others that were coming from the mine, the superintendent of the mine had to make a terrible decision. With men trapped below and the town in danger, they called in the cement trucks and had to bar off the face of the pit that led to the mine. It was a day of anguish for some people in that town. You imagine the mine's mouth being barred off with people down below. Sometime later, when all was safe, they called in another crew of men and with jackhammers, they took away the concrete. And behind the concrete wall lay the bodies of men that had somehow made it all the way from the depths below right to the very door of safety, only to find that there was a barrier, only to find that there was no way out. And they died on the wrong side of daylight. There's too many people in this world, and there may be some in this building tonight, and you are waiting. You're hoping, you're thinking that someday everything is going to be all right. And you're going on in your own plodding way, only to find one of these days you'll come face to face with the reality of eternity. Find that there's a barrier between you and God and God's heaven. A barrier which you cannot pass. I understand as well that some years after that in the little town of Spring Hill, there was another explosion in the mine. And again the town faced the same problem. This time while an angry superintendent sized up the situation, there were some women that came along dressed in black. When the man looked at these women, Mr. Gordon, his name was, with tears in his eyes, he looked at these women. He said, there'll be no wall this time. Well, my friends, will you listen tonight? I tell you, listen, there is no wall between you and God's heaven right now. You can be saved. The door of heaven is open. Christ has removed the barrier of sin when the Lamb of God died on Calvary. And if you will repent of sin and acknowledge sin before God and realize that you are the sinner for whom Christ died, tonight is your opportunity to be saved simply by trusting the finished work of the cross of Calvary. You can be saved tonight and know that all is well with your soul. But you put it off. You tarry and you wait. Someday you'll come face to face with this reality that your day of opportunity is over. You'll meet God in your sins and you will perish in that place called the lake of fire where you'll spend in anguish for all of eternity. Will you not tonight ponder these things? And our prayer is that you might trust Christ while you have opportunity. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee for what we have heard concerning the Lord Jesus. And our God, we think of Him who came and manifested Himself by His miracles to these people. We've been reminded tonight of a crippled man who cried to the Lord Jesus. We think of his helpless cry, Sir, I have no man. We think tonight of a blind man. Man that could say, one thing I know, whereas once I was blind, now I see. Our God, we've been reminded tonight of Lazarus, the man called forth from death to sit at the table with the Lord Jesus. And what a beautiful picture it is tonight of God's salvation. Our Father, we thank Thee for those in this building that are saved. We pray for those that are not. We pray, our God, that there might be a sense of eternity impressed upon their souls, that Thy Holy Spirit might speak to them and deal with them, that they might realize that the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and they might realize tonight that being saved, born again, cleansed by the blood of Christ, and ready to meet God, is the most wonderful thing that they'll ever know. Bless Thy word and save souls. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Maybe we'll sing the last three verses of number 40. Number 40, and we thank you for coming. It's nice to see you come out. I wonder if there might be somebody here tonight and maybe something Mr. Peterson said or something that we've said ourselves here from the Word of God. Maybe something you just don't understand. Maybe you have a question. Perhaps you'd like to be saved. Well then, could we encourage you? You just stay behind. We'll gladly spend time with the Bible, seeking to show you how you can know God's salvation. We can't save you. We couldn't save ourselves. But we can try to point you to the only one that can save you, the Lord Jesus. So if you have any concerns or questions, you stay behind. Number 40, the last three verses.